Dave Emery here. This is Side 1 of For the Record program number 825, titled Generalissimo Francisco Franco May Not Be So Dead After All. This is being recorded on December 7th of the year 2014. Now, this is, of course, Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, the day on which this is being recorded. And I thought, by way of humorously observing how far down we've sunk, over the years, I describe myself politically as an anti-fascist, and that's something that simply is unknown to the average American at this point. At this point in time, the average American, if you talk about anti-fascism to them, they're likely to say, well, I didn't know her personally, but I hear she was quite a gal. Say, wasn't she related to Pearl Harbor? Well, in the manner of speaking, yes, but we have come a long way. Now, we're going to be looking at the history of fascism. Before we do, an important element of the history of fascism, and we're going to be illustrating why it needs to be studied both in its present and past manifestations, because they are inextricably linked. I want to encourage listeners most emphatically to go to the front page of the SpitfireList.com website and subscribe to the comments that are made. Most of them, the vast bulk, are made by a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terrafractyl, capital P-T-E-R-R-A-F-R-A-C-T-Y-L. And there are also substantive comments by other people as well. I will be cracking down to those people who troll the website. I will be cracking down even more firmly on trolls simply because they are not worth our time. Do subscribe to the comments at the top of the description for the Record 825. There is a link to click on to subscribe to the comments between the program material, the archives, the books, and the regular contributions of Terrafractyl and other knowledgeable listeners. The SpitfireList.com website is not only the best individual source for information about this type of material, but represents a running and consistently updated commentary on a variety of important issues. For example, Terrafractyl has done some great work about the Fukushima disaster in Japan, something I have yet to cover in the program. It is, in short, a nightmare. We have not been told what is really going on there, and if you want to follow what's going on in Fukushima, you could do no better than to follow the updates from Terrafractyl. Now, to the subject at hand, and bearing in mind that this is December 7th, the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, which brought the U.S. into World War II, we're going to be looking at some of the present-day manifestations of fascism in Spain, which was one of the cradles of World War II-era fascism. Although Spain was officially a neutral country, it was fascist and represented a very important ally of both Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. And because of its nominally neutral status, it was able to be used as a base for espionage and in the pre- and post-war periods, sub rosa covert operation, both by the Third Reich and its post-World War II underground Reich manifestation. The title of the program derives from the old Saturday night newscast parody in which comedian Chevy Chase would observe as Francisco Franco, the fascist dictator of Spain, was dying and he passed away from a lingering illness. They regularly updated saying, General Francisco Franco is still dead, because there would be daily or weekly updates on his status. And at some point, it was very clear that he was not going to make it, but we kept being bombarded with updates on his health. And so Saturday Night Live parodied that by saying, yep, he is still dead. Well, I guess you could say vis-a-vis Franco and his fascist legacy, the song is over, But the malady lingers on because the legacy of Francisco Franco is still very much present, not only in Spain, but elsewhere as well. And that's something we're going to be highlighting right now. We're going to begin with an article from the Wall Street Journal of December 2nd of 2013. This is an article by Matt Moffett, M-O-F-F-E-T-T, and David Roman, capital R-O-M-A-N. It's titled, Franco's Legacy Rattles Spain, and it reads in part as follows. A series of headline-grabbing incidents in recent months has prompted soul-searching among Spaniards over dictator Francisco Franco's enduring legacy and the disruptive potential for extremism to flare at a time of deep economic distress. Over the summer, several Spaniards posted pictures of themselves holding fascist flags or giving Nazi salutes on social media sites. In September, a self-described fascist group assaulted the cultural center in Madrid representing Catalonia, a region that was repressed by Franco and is now home to a growing political movement seeking independence in Spain. A week later, an Argentine judge sought the arrest of some Franco-era security officials for alleged crimes against humanity. That was a marked contrast to the passive approach of Spain's own judiciary, which has left the Franco regime's abuses unpunished in the interest of preserving the country's peaceful transition to democracy. Now, some Spaniards worry that the failure to thoroughly confront Spain's authoritarian past, what has been dubbed the Pact of Forgetting, unquote, has left the door to an emergence of extremism in a new generation devastated by years of economic crisis and 50% youth unemployment. Quote, in these moments of crisis and disappointment with politics, this creates a petri dish for extremist movements as they provide simple answers to complex problems, said Jorge J.R.D.I. Rodriguez, professor of politics at the University of Navarra. That's N-A-D-A-R-R-A. Esteban Ibarra, I-B-A-R-R-A, president of a group called Movement Against Intolerance, said Spain was experiencing its worst wave of far-right extremism since the mid-1990s during a previous economic and political crisis. In 1977, Spain's parliament passed an amnesty law that protected officials of the dictatorship and those involved in Civil War-era crimes, including supporters of anti-Franco forces, from prosecution. Since then, many Spaniards who were sympathetic to Franco were absorbed in the conservative People's Party of Mariano Rajoy and began to embrace more centrist positions. That has had the effect of draining the potential membership pool for extreme right parties, analysts say. But the absorption of the Franco legacy into the political mainstream has created some contradictions that bedevil Spain and the People's Party to this day. Monuments to Franco and his followers still dot the Spanish landscape, despite a 2007 law that prodded officials to start removing them. Quote, this is the only country where you can be a Democrat without being an anti-fascist, unquote, said Rafael Escudero Alde, A-L-D-A-Y, a law professor at Madrid's Carlos III University. That paradox was evident in the recent flurry of photos of young People's Party activists offering fascist homages. In one of the photos, a small-town People's Party councilman posed at Franco's burial place holding a fascist banner. In another, a local leader of a People's Party youth organization is shown making a Nazi salute. By the way, instead of People's Party, we will be referring to that as PP from this point forward. Before we move to our next article, I want to note a couple of things. One of the things that is worrying many observers is the dire economic situation of Spain. It is one of the so-called PIGS countries, P-I-G-S, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain, the so-called peripheral countries. They are in very bad shape. And again, noting that there is 50% youth unemployment in Spain, and the horrifying economic conditions made that much worse by the German-mandated, dictated austerity program is exacerbating the problem there. In times of extreme economic and social distress, people start looking for different answers, so to speak. And the fear on the part of many is that the social dislocation produced by widespread economic distress will have the same effect that the Great Depression had on populations around the world. It drove many into the arms of the fascist dictators and came very close to overthrowing Franklin Roosevelt as well. I would also note that, again, the People's Party absorbed the bulk of the Franco milieu in Spain. We're going to talk more about that in a second. And note in particular that the Spanish judiciary has been very forgiving of Francoism and the Franco legacy. Mariano Rajoy, the current head of state in Spain, is the son of a Franco jurist, and indeed his People's Party is sort of a repository for a kinder, gentler Falange. The Falange, spelled capital F-A-L-A-N-G-E, is the fascist party of Francisco Franco. We're going to be talking about Rajoy's jingoism and nationalism and saber-rattling against the United Kingdom, some of it against Gibraltar at the tip of Spain's entrance to the Mediterranean Sea, and also in combination with Argentina against the Falkland Islands. We're going to be talking about the relationship between Spanish fascism and Argentine fascism, before and after World War II, later on in the program. But again, note that historically, when things are rough economically, people tend to extreme positions, and it remains to be seen whether that happens in Europe. Certainly, Europe is lurching to the right, and one wonders to what extent the renewed Cold War against Russia over the Ukraine situation is something of a let-them-eat-fascism or let-them-eat-nationalism or let-them-eat-jingoism response to Europe's continued economic, what one observer in the Financial Times called a Teutonic straitjacket. The celebrations of Franco's legacy include honoring members of the Division Azul, or the Blue Division. That was a volunteer division composed of Spanish volunteers that fought in the German Wehrmacht on the Eastern Front during World War II. The Catalan news agency of May 17th of 2013 had a story, "The Spanish government's delegate in Catalonia pays tribute to Hitler's soldiers," and this reads in part, "Maria de los Llanos, L-L-A-N-O-S, de Luna, from the People's Party, gave a diploma of honor to a brotherhood of soldiers and supporters of the División Azul, or Blue Division, a division of Spanish volunteers who fought in the Nazi army on the Eastern Front during the Second World War. De Luna is the top representative of the Spanish government in Catalonia, and she is known for her Spanish nationalism and anti-Catalan identity stance. The Blaue Division, as the Germans called it, the 250th Infantry Division of Nazi Germany's Wehrmacht, represents the main collaboration between Franco's dictatorship and Adolf Hitler, as well as the Condor Division, which bombed Guernica, and the arrest of Catalonia's President Luis Companys by the Gestapo. The 12 members of the Brotherhood who attended the diploma ceremony were wearing the Falange uniform, which was the only party allowed during Franco's fascist dictatorship created before the Spanish Civil War. The fascist party is still legal in Spain." Skipping down. "The ceremony was commemorating the 169th anniversary of the Guardia Civil, the Spanish Gendarmerie, and took place in one of its barracks in Greater Barcelona in Sant Andreu de la Barca. The anniversary of the creation of the Guardia Civil, which has historically been a core link to Spanish centralist power and the imposition of orders, sometimes brutally, had not been celebrated in Catalonia for many years. However, De Luna decided to commemorate this anniversary again in 2013, half a year after 1.5 million citizens peacefully and democratically demonstrated in Barcelona's streets, asking for Catalonia's independence from Spain. The left-wing Catalan Independence Party denounced the fact that the Spanish government has given a 3,500-euro subsidy to this fascist brotherhood this year. By the way, I would note that in addition to the Condor Legion, basically a Luftwaffe disbursement to Franco's Spain or to fight on behalf of Franco, there also was the Black Arrow Division, composed of Italian volunteers who fought for Franco. Two members of the Black Arrow Division were P2 head Licio Geli and his brother, who was killed during the Spanish Civil War. The P2 Lodge is a crypto-fascist government that ran Italy for much of the post-war period, and it had a very powerful outpost in, among other places, Argentina. In fact, the murderous Argentine junta of the 1970s featured Argentine P2 members in prominent positions, including General Carlos Suarez Masson and Admiral Emilio Massera, who was head of the, who basically was in charge of, bureaucratically, the Naval Mechanics School at which much of the torture and murder took place during Argentina's Dirty War. We're going to come back to Argentina later. However, note that as we highlighted in our first article, that Wall Street Journal article from December 2nd of 2013, Mariano Rajoy's People's Party is essentially evolved from and absorbed much of the Falange of Francisco Franco. The Wikipedia entry for People's Party reads in part, "The People's Party, or PP, was a reformation in 1989 of the People's Alliance, Spanish Alianza Popular, or AP, a party led and founded by Manuel Fraga Iribarne, I-R-I-B-A-R-N-E, a former Minister of the Interior and Minister of Tourism during Francisco Franco's dictatorship. The new party combined the conservative AP with several small Christian Democratic and Liberal parties. The party calls this the fusion of views reformist center. In 2002, Manuel Fraga received the honorary title of founding chairman. The party has its roots in the People's Alliance, founded on October 9, 1976, by former Francoist Minister Manuel Fraga." And Mariano Rajoy himself is something of a chip off the old Falange, I guess one could say. Again, recall that in the December 2nd, 2013 Wall Street Journal article, it noted that the Spanish judiciary has been particularly and explicitly forgiving of Franco's fascism and the crimes committed by Franco's fascists. I would note, and I suspect this has much to do with Mariano Rajoy's kinder, gentler embrace of Francoism. From the Wikipedia entry on Mariano Rajoy, while on the campaign trail in 2011, Rajoy published an autobiography, On Confianza, In Confidence, in which he recalled his studious and quiet youth following a father who was climbing the ranks of Francisco Franco's judiciary. So again, it is perhaps not all that surprising to see Mariano Rajoy embracing sort of a kinder, gentler Falange. Before we go into some of what Mariano Rajoy is doing in on the international and domestic Spanish stage, we're going to review some information, from the Nation magazine article of February 10th of 2014. This is an article by Andrew Jennings titled, Meet the International Olympic Committee, Ideal Candidates for a Perp Walk. And it notes not only the extremely corrupt nature of the International Olympic Committee, but it notes that one of the reasons for that is the enormous influence over the IOC, over its former president, Juan Antonio Samaranch, who was Franco's Minister of Sport for many years, skipping down in the article. From the early 1980s, before joining the International Olympic Committee, he lobbied for the end of amateurism, the starting point for the privatization of the Games. This is current IOC President Thomas Bach, who hails from Siemens and from Adidas. By the way, Siemens is one of the German core corporations. It's something of a quartermaster for the BND, German intelligence, and the successor to the Reinhard-Gehlen spy outfit. And it also is one of the key Bormann companies. Also, Bach worked for Adidas, the sporting goods company. Adidas and the competing Puma company were founded by the Dassler brothers, Rudolf Dassler of Puma and Adi Dassler of Adidas. Both were members of the Nazi Party under Hitler, and Rudolf reported to have been a member of the SS. Of Juan Antonio Samaranch, again, Franco's Minister of Sport, beginning again. Bach became a favorite of former IOC President Juan Antonio Samaranch, once sports minister in Franco's Spain and a 37-year loyal fascist. I attempted to ask Samaranch why his right arm was so much more muscular than his left. That got me a 7-year ban from the International Olympic Committee press conferences. Half of the current 107 IOC members, including Thomas Bach, 8 of them princes or princesses, were chosen by Samaranch. His final appointment was his son, Juan Antonio Jr. So again, the International Olympic Committee and the Olympics continue to be a venue for residual Spanish fascism and international fascism and the corruption which so often goes with it. Note that roughly half of the current IOC, including IOC President Thomas Bach of Siemens and Adidas, are Samaranch proteges. And note that his son, Juan Antonio Samaranch Jr., is one of the current members of the IOC. Now, again, in the Wall Street Journal article with which we began our program, it noted that there is tremendous social dislocation in Spain because of the dire economic conditions there, and that the country is experiencing 50% youth unemployment. In the views of many observers, this is setting the stage for a move to extremism or a return to extremism in Spain. One of the things that has been taking place in Spain is basically jingoism, nationalism, international saber-rattling. At the tip of Spain, of course, is the tiny British territory of Gibraltar, best known, of course, for the Rock of Gibraltar. And there has been not only Spanish pressure on Gibraltar, but Spanish officials have been rallying the Spanish public against Gibraltar and have been scapegoating Gibraltar for fiscal irregularities that are being blamed in part for Spain's and the EU's economic problems. Spain's and the EU's economic problems are not due to Gibraltar. However, in a country where things are as grave as they are in Spain and half of its young people are unemployed, pointing the finger elsewhere and rallying people behind a nationalist slash fascist message or a militarist message is something that may prove useful. Certainly, at least in the short run, it is distracting. An article from the Telegraph of the UK of August 4th of 2014, an article by Damien McElroy, capital N-C, capital E-L-R-O-Y, Spain threatens escalation of Gibraltar row, and it reads in part as follows. José Manuel García Margallo, Spain's foreign minister, said a row over fishing rights around Gibraltar would force Madrid into new punitive measures. The Spanish authorities have already provoked the British territory by imposing crossing restrictions at the border on successive days last week. After long queues last week, the Foreign Office called in the senior Spanish diplomat in London, who was given a dressing down. In the wake of that meeting, Madrid said it would toughen its stance yet further. "The party is over," unquote, Mr. García Margallo told ABC newspaper as he unveiled proposals for a 50-euro border crossing fee and tax investigations of thousands of Gibraltarians who own property in Spain. Mr. García Margallo, I guess it is M-A-R-G-A-L-L-O, said the Spanish tax authorities would investigate properties owned by around 6,000 Gibraltarians in neighboring parts of Spain as part of its EU obligations to control, quote, fiscal irregularities, unquote. Spain was also considering closing airspace to planes heading for the airport in Gibraltar and changing rules to ring taxes from online gaming companies based in Gibraltar. And more about the Spanish pressure on Gibraltar. This also from the Telegraph of August 9th of 2014 by Stephen Swinford, S-W-I-N-F-O-R-D, and Ben Farmer. Spain to take all necessary measures, unquote, to defend Gibraltar interests. And it reads in part, Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy said Spain will take legal and proportional steps, unquote, after Britain sent a rapid reaction force of warships to visit the island's waters. Mr. Rajoy's comments appear to echo the language of the United Nations Charter, which uses the phrase, all necessary measures, unquote, to authorize the use of military force. Tensions between Britain and Spain over Gibraltar's sovereignty have intensified following a row over fishing rights and the imposition of punitive border checks. Britain is sending a force of 9 vessels, led by the helicopter carrier HMS Illustrious, and including 2 frigates to sail for the Mediterranean on Monday for the start of a 4-month deployment. 3 of the ships, including HMS Westminster's, will actually dock in Gibraltar. And again, Spain's economic problems and social problems are not due to 6,000 Gibraltarians who own property in Spain, and it's not due to fiscal irregularities imposed on Spain by the tiny property of Gibraltar. However, since time immemorial, pretty much throughout history, despots of various stripes have used nationalism and jingoism and militaristic finger-pointing to distract attention away from domestic problems, in particular economic problems, and that has been a major feature of fascism over the decades. More about this in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 825. Generalissimo Francisco Franco may not be so dead. After all, this has been recorded on December 7th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.